Let's go to John 3:16. I'm going to be sharing that out of the Passion Translation. We're going to go to John 3:16, then we're going to go to John 13, then we're going to mosey over to Romans. Not a test, but that's where we're going. John 3:16 in the Passion Translation says, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and to rescue it." Amen. You know how I am with that word. Tell your neighbor, I'm a rescue worker. John 13, verses 34 and 35, also in the Passion Translation, Jesus said, "So I give you now," when is he giving it?
Now.
"A new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers." So you want people to know that you're followers of Christ? Let them see you loving one another exactly the same way Christ loves us. Exactly the same way. We're going to take a little sidestep here. How many times have Jesus said to you, "I'm tired of you"? How many times has Jesus said, "You make me sick"? How many times has Jesus said to you, this is the fourth time you've done that? How many times has Jesus said, "You never make up your bed"? How many times has he said that to you? You know why? He loves you. Love doesn't keep an account. Love always believes the best of everybody. So if we're going to love the same way that Jesus loves us, we're going to have to start checking ourselves. And that doesn't mean if I know that my wife's preference is I put the toilet seat down, I'm not going to say I live here too, I'm just going to leave it up. If I love her, and I do, I'll put it down. I mean, what's the big deal? You know, you'll take the garbage out, you'll do the things, and you'll stop thinking, I'm still learning, you stop thinking, all right, I don't want to do this, but I'm supposed to. Well, it's not grudgingly or of necessity, and I'm learning more and more to just do things out of just pure love. That's it. There is no other motive. Because that's what Jesus does for us. So if we're going to love the same way he loves us, we have to think about those things. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. I didn't have to walk around and get it, but it's from him anyway. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. This is the King James. The Apostle Paul told the Romans, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. So when we think about our lives and we think about, you know, the things that we know that God has required us to do, you know, when we just talked about walking in love, being quick to forgive, you know, but And please, you don't have, don't, I'm not looking for you to answer me out loud. I'm just asking you to just think about it. Do we always do what God tells us, the way God tells us, and when God tells us? You know, just you know, you don't have to tell me. If necessary, I'll speak over here so I won't see your mind. Okay. Have we ever been afraid? Do we tithe? You know, when God tells us to do something, do we just jump both feet into it? Or do we stop and figure out if it's something I can do or if it's something I even want to do? And the reason I'm asking you those questions is because God has these requirements. Why would he give them to us if we weren't able to do it? Or maybe a better way to say it is, since God has given us a lifestyle that he expects us to live, why would he give us that lifestyle if we were not able to live it? Because he'd be setting us up to fail. And he does, see, humans or mankind by nature are rebellious. And that's not a knock on mankind. That's the way it was because of what happened in the garden. So you were born a sinner. And not only were we born a sinner, we were born into a world that doesn't encourage us to live a godly lifestyle. You know, so when you get a knowledge of God and you want to do right, you still have your nature, you still have your path, you still have all of these other things that come up into mind or into your thinking that act as roadblocks to you doing the things you want. So God had to come up with something. He had to have a plan. He had to come up with a solution so that we would be in a position where when he tells us to do something, we can immediately act on it. See, before we received Christ, we didn't really have a choice. We had what's called the sin nature, and our first inclination was always flesh. I don't like this. I don't want this. I'm not doing this. And God had to do something about that. He did not want to make us robots. That would have been very easy for him. He just zap everybody and they have no choice. They have to do what he said, but that's not what he wanted. He wanted his creation, his prized people, to want to listen, to want to obey, to want to do what he asked. That's what God wants. But he had to he had to make some changes available to us so that we could now be in a position where we can choose to obey, where we didn't really have a choice before. And God, he did that. I mean, he's so smart. But look at 2 Corinthians. I know we know this, but we're going to go there anyway. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to read it in the King James, and I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. King James says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What kind of creature? Old things are passed away. Behold, some things have become, excuse me? Oh, you mean it's not some? It's all. Okay, so all things have become new. Okay, listen to the Passion Translation. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. All, listen, it gets it better. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Not some, all. That means your entire past. How could you be a new creature if you have a past?
That's right.
Old creatures have a past. New creatures, they don't have a past. So we're a new creation altogether. The past has vanished.
Yes.
It's like it never happened.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Glory to God.
And everything is fresh and new. And you think about, wait a minute, but how can I be new? I look in the mirror and I still look the same. I'm still overweight. But see, what we have to understand is that when we received Christ, we received a new operating system. See, I for years, and we still have one, but for years, I was a Windows guy. I used window PCs. See, why? That's all I knew. That's all I knew. And then, because of the issues I was having with Windows, you know, it's subject to malware and viruses, and you have all these different change the operating systems, and they charge you for them, you know, and all these different things happen. And so we decided we're going to go with a Mac. Well, that's an entirely different operating system. And I have to take the time to learn how this system works. What are the features? What are the benefits? What can it do? What can't it do? You don't learn that overnight. And you certainly don't read that 6,852-page manual once and get it. You have to go to the manual for specific things that you want to do and find out what it says, where it'll tell you, this is how you do this. Because it's a new operating system. And it's foreign to me, but I find that it's better. Now, I'm not saying get rid of your Windows and go to Mac. Okay. And say, Pastor Carr said we got to go to Windows. No, I don't have Apple stock. Right. No. But, you know, in the same way, when we accepted Christ, we accepted a new operating system. Now we have to take the time to find out how to operate within this new system, what it does, what doesn't it do, what's available because of it. You know, we need to take time to understand all of those things. So in Romans 1, 16, we'll go back there, verse 17, actually, where it ends, it says, the just shall live by faith. That's important to understand because that's the new operating system. It's called faith.
Yes.
Say the new operating system. Everybody. The new operating system
is called faith.
I have to learn
how to live by faith.
See, we think we do. But when we start looking, if we start taking apart our lives and looking at the things we do, we'll probably come to the conclusion that we're really not living in faith. And I'll tell you why I say that. All of us have acts of faith. But acts of faith is not living in faith. See, if you're living in faith, they're not acts of faith. It's everything you do is faith-based, period. We think faith before we think anything else. We don't get wrapped up about a situation and then say, oh, maybe I need to exercise my faith. No, we. How many of you have to make a conscious choice to start breathing? Okay. Does anyone have to? You have a timer. Said inhale, exhale. Inhale, hold it. Nope, exit. Do we have a button that tells our heart, you know, start beating, a little low, all right, no, move up to 63. No, it just does it. It just doesn't. That's the way we need to be about with our new operating system. It just kicks in. That's because if it's how you live, it just happens. You don't think about, oh, I have to act in faith. Everything you do screams faith, period. And we can't be ashamed of that. See, if we're ashamed of the gospel of Christ, we won't believe that it's the power of God to salvation. We'll be ashamed of it. We won't receive it as the power of God. But the main point is, when we received Jesus Christ, we became the righteousness of God. We became just. And as the just, God tells us, you're just, yes, sir, you live by faith. Period. Living, to live, means live, breathe, be among the living, not lifeless. But it says having power in itself and exerting the same upon the soul. When you're living by faith, that faith empowers your soul. That means that faith determines how we think. That's very big. Because before faith, emotions determined how we think. We'll have an emotional event and we'll have thoughts based on that event. And we won't even take the time to find out what God said about it. We'll be too busy thinking about what the doctor said about it, or what my therapist said, you know, or what Oprah said. But we'll listen to all of these people who are... When did we get our political advice from athletes? Okay. But we'll listen to athletes before we listen to God. Because we get emotional and we forget that we're just and that we're called to live how? By faith. We should be active and powerful. Listen to Romans 1:17 out of the Phillips translation. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I see it as the very power of God working for the salvation of everyone who believes in it, both Jew and Greek. Listen to this. I see in it God's plan for imparting righteousness to men, a process begun and continued by their faith. For as the scripture says, the just shall live by faith. So I'm trying to get us to understand that we have an entirely new operating system. It's called faith, and it's based on a different set of parameters. It's not based on our own resolve, our own intelligence, or our own resources. It's based solely on our absolute trust in God and in His Word. Period. That's what it's based on. And it requires that we're totally dependent on God. See, when before we received this new operating system, if God gave us an assignment that wasn't pleasing to our flesh or to our hearing, you know, we didn't jump right into it. We came up with all the reasons why we didn't want to do it, and we start complaining, or we start murmuring about it. Or we start doing it grudgingly. And we look for ways to get out of it. Because we really don't want to do it. It's not, but we don't think about God's grace is sufficient. We think about, God, what did I do to deserve this? And what we miss out on by thinking negative thoughts about it, we don't take the time to hear God's comfort. We don't take the time to hear God assure us that we can do it. We don't take the time to feel, to sense His grace to allow us to deal with it. Because mentally, we're not in the right place. Mentally, we're in rebellion because we're born again, but we don't understand this new operating system. We don't know what it can propel us to do. So we don't turn to it. We turn to our emotions. There's another reason, but that's a couple lessons away. I don't want to do it today. But so far, it keeps cutting. It's gotten this far. If it goes any farther than that, I'm going to have to say it. Hebrews 12. First two verses, they're very familiar, but I'm going to share them out of the Passion Translation. It says, as for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us. Who must let go of it? We must let go. And the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out before us. Verse 2. We look, see, this is what the new operating system allows us to do. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. Hallelujah. See, that these are choices that we can make because of this new operating system that's been downloaded. Okay, all right. Okay. The other thing we have to know, and we'll get to it in detail in a little later, not a little later today, but a little later. Downloading the new operating system is not good enough. We had a situation at the church. You know, you see the lyrics and things that come up. Well, it's a software program called ProPresenter that allows us to do that. We could also, if I gave them to them, we could put the scriptures up so you can read it. It all works through ProPresenter. We had ProPresenter 5. They came out with ProPresenter 6 2 years ago. We purchased it. The ministry purchased it. And we said, load these into the systems. And this is 2 years later. And we said, we thought it was loaded into the system because we needed the Passion Translation to be loaded into ProPresenter. And ProPresenter said, I don't like this software. I should say the Passion Translation software said, I don't like ProPresenter 5. You need 6. We're thinking, but we have 6. So we call a meeting. And the meeting was, okay, you told us. No, we said, where is ProPresenter loaded on all systems? All of the systems except the systems for the youth department. So we'll get them loaded on those also. And then 2 weeks later, we come back and say, why isn't the Passion Translation loaded? It needs ProPresenter. You said you loaded ProPresenter 6. We loaded it, but it wasn't installed. Okay. No, understand this. This isn't to knock them, and the people involved I've already talked to, because I'm not going to say anything publicly that I haven't discussed with someone privately. But see, you download a system. It goes into a file. Then you have to open the file and press install. Okay. And then usually another dialog box comes up and it asks you a question. Do you want the full installation that's recommended or do you want a custom? Most of the time we select custom. And we're limited, or I should say, and now the operating system is limited in what we could do because we didn't install all of it. We only installed parts of it because, after all, we know what we need. We know. No, we have to take the full recommended installation. Then and only then will we be able to get the full benefits of this new operating system called faith. That's why some people, they can believe for healing, but they can't believe for finances. Or they can believe for healing and finances, they can't believe for their children. You know, something. They don't have it all. Why? They didn't install it all. They start thinking, I need to be healthy. I need to be wealthy. You know, instead of just hit full installation. Be like the guy from The Matrix. Done. You just get it. But I'll give you more detail on that. But I think it's important to understand loading is one thing. Installing is something entirely different. We had what we needed loaded. It was no benefit to us because it wasn't installed. We have to install this new operating system. We have to let it take every resource that it needs. You'll get some dialogue boxes. We need to access photos. Yeah, okay, fine. We need to access your code. Okay, fine. Whatever it needs to access, okay, fine. Now it has full control. Full control. And we need it to have full control. So see, if we're truly living by faith, we'll always walk in love. It won't be a choice. It won't be anything to think about. Just think how many times you've heard, because I know none of you have ever said it, but how many times have you heard folks say you have to love the unlovable? Well, who are the unlovable? The Bible says God so loved the world. So who are we to say you didn't love this person? There ain't no way you love that person, God. No. That person's unlovable. But I'm going to do you a favor. I'll love them. Okay. No. We'll be quick to forgive. They'll say, no, I remember what they did to me 14 years ago. And they never apologized for that. Oh, no, you hurt me once, shame on me. Hurt me twice? No, hurt me once, shame on you. Hurt me twice, shame on me. Why is it shame on me? Because I should have never let you get that close to me again. But if love doesn't keep an account, and I know the scripture, folks. When the disciples went to Jesus and he said, how often do we forgive? 7 times? Jesus said, no, 70 times. We're like, got it. This is time one. This is time two. But then you get over into 1 Corinthians and it says love doesn't keep an account of a suffered wrong. So how do you get past one? Every time someone does something to you, it's like it's the first time it ever happened. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't press that install button. I have to give this turkey the opportunity to do this to me again. When did you change his name to Turkey? Well, can I at least send him the turkey? No, but we'd be quick to forgive. Why? Because our new operating system, faith, says God will protect me. That's what faith says. God's grace will allow me to endure. His grace is sufficient. So it won't matter what they do. I'm covered by his grace. But if we don't have that installed, we're not going to benefit from it. And that is a key part of the operating system. And let will give. God has this habit of stretching you. Okay. And the reason he's doing it because he wants you to find out all that your faith is capable of. And if he lets you stay comfortable, you'll never find out. And I've used this analogy before. How many of you have smartphones? How many of you have smartphones because you just want to make telephone calls? No. But if all you knew, when I got the first, I didn't even know it was a smartphone, it was a phone. You know. And we just wanted to make calls. And we found out we could text. Okay, that's good. Then we found out I could email. Found out I could surf the internet on my phone. I could take pictures with my phone. Can you imagine that? But guess what didn't get any bigger? My phone. It stayed the same size. But my understanding as to what I could do with this device increased by leaps and bounds. It's the same way with this new operating system called faith. Our knowledge of what it does has to grow. We have to understand everything that this operating system provides and how to access it. We need to know that. You know, there are some websites that I understand are more prone to viruses than others. And so you knowing that, there's certain websites you don't go to. You shouldn't go to them anyway, you know, but with the new operating system, there's certain things we should not do because it can plant a virus or malware. So there's some things we have to stay away from. That's why it says the just shall live by faith. We have to make sure we stay just. God didn't make us just. He gave us the opportunity to become just, and we took it. We received Christ. We became just. Now, God is not going to wrap his holy band around it so we can never pull away. Because, again, he wants us to stay loyal to him because we want to, because we love him. Which leads us to something else. Every operating system has a processor, if you will, so to speak. Josh, let me know if I'm not saying this correctly. You know, because I know with Windows, they had these Pentium processors. I don't know what the processor is now. But without the processor, the operating system, forget about it, you know. Well, we have a processor that allows our operating system to work. Look at Galatians 5. It's King James Version. We'll read verse 5 and 6. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Love is the processor that causes our faith to work. Without love, the new operating system is useless. It's not rituals, it's love that activates our faith. The Passion Translation says, in verse 6, when you're placed into the Anointed One and joined to him, circumcision and religious obligations can benefit you nothing. All that matters now is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. Yes. Love activates and brings to perfection. Without love, you might as well stay a sinner. Because you're still going to do sinful acts. Because you don't have the new operation system functioning. Because you have the wrong processor. You don't have love. So love activates our faith. Love brings it to perfection. So we understand that there's this clear connection between faith and love. But do you ever feel like your faith takes a vacation? No, with things are going, it's like, I want to believe, but I just can't believe that. I know I should, but I can't. And I was asking God about that. And he told me to share this with you. Grab your neighbor's hand. Look at them. Say, it's going to be all right. It's not going to hurt. Okay. You ready for this? Sure. Okay. Turn to John 14, please. John 14. I'm going to read verses 21 to 23. But I'm going to read them out of the Passion Translation. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. Then one of the disciples named Judas, not Iscariot, said, Lord, why is it you will only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone? Jesus replied, loving me empowers you to obey my word. Hallelujah. Loving Christ empowers you to obey Christ. Why does our faith take a vacation? We're not obeying. We're not obeying. Because if we're not obeying, it's because we're not fully loving. Yes. Because the only way to show that you love is through your obedience. Mm-hmm. He said, my Father will love you so deeply that he will come to you and make you our dwelling place. John 14. Verses 15 and 17 in the Passion Translation says, loving me empowers you to obey my commands. So loving empowers us to obey the word of God. Loving Christ empowers us to obey his commands. So love empowers us to love the word and love our instructions. That's what it does. And if we're loving our instructions, our faith will never take a holiday. It takes a holiday because there's something that we're doing that's not demonstrating the love of God, so we can't fulfill our assignment. We have to understand that that's part of the operating system. It's not that we're bad people. We made bad choices, and we're not understanding how it affects us. We think, I just don't like to do it. Well, it's much deeper than that. You don't like to do it, so you don't do it, but Jesus told you to do it, and you said no, so that's demonstrating that you don't love him. Amen. And if you don't demonstrate that you love him, he can't demonstrate that he passionately loves you. Amen. And when you fail to obey, you're denying him. And Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I have to deny you before my Father. I don't want God to say, I don't know this guy. Because if the young folks say, he says that about me, I'm in trouble that I can't handle. So obedience, faith works. Faith is empowered. The processor for faith is love. Obedience is proof that our processor is in place. If we're not obeying, we don't have love in place. If we don't have love in place, our faith can't work. There's nothing to cause it to work. And we need to understand that about faith. Now, this generated in me another question. Because I thought, is it really worth it to walk out of love? You think about it. Is that person really that important that you have to get your pound of flesh? Think about what it's called. Pound of flesh. You can't control the flesh you have. You don't need another pound. You know, Pastor Clinton always said, you're so busy giving people your peace of your mind, that's why you're acting all crazy. Because you don't have all of your mind left. You've been giving pieces out. But in 1 Samuel 15, the king was given some tough instructions, folks. God told him, kill everything living. Period. Done. But the people, in verse 21, took of the spoils sheep and oxen. The chief, that means the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Now, God didn't say kill everything except the absolute best, and then you bring the absolute best to Gilgal and sacrifice them to me. No, he said, wipe them out. Period. Let there be no trace that they ever existed. Kill every living thing. And Samuel said, has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. I told you the story. God said to me, join the youth fellowship, and I thought he was losing his mind. And so I figured, okay, I'm not joining the youth fellowship. But I'll sacrifice. I'll serve. I joined the host. Guess who wasn't impressed with that? God. And I made my life miserable for me and my wife. Because, yeah, I'm serving, but I'm serving in disobedience. God can't honor that. The sacrifice of serving meant nothing to him because I wasn't in obedience. I wasn't operating in faith. I was operating in flesh. I didn't like dealing with children older than 10 because they didn't listen. That was my... And forget about it, once they got to a teenager, then they thought they knew everything. And no, I wanted folks that were going to listen and learn and be happy. The older ones are like, okay, what do you got for me today? The younger ones, give me a high five. They jump up and down. Yay, let's go. Whatever you presented, they loved. But God said, youth department, teenagers, I said, I'll serve. I didn't have a full installation. I did. I gotta tell you this. about the word obey. Because I said earlier, God is not going to ask us to do something that we're incapable of doing or that he hasn't already provided us. God's not going to ask you to give more than he's given you. So if he's asking you to give a particular amount, you have it. You just have designated it for something else. God said, I want it over here. It's no different than God saying to me, join the youth department. I'm like, no, I'll join the host. It's the same principle. The word obey in the Hebrew means to hear intelligently. The Hebrew word is shoma. It means to hear intelligently. There is a word that means to act in an unintelligent manner. You know what that word is? Stupid. Because, remember what it, to act in an unintelligent manner. It doesn't say you're unintelligent. It says you're acting like you're unintelligent. That means you know what the intelligent choice is and you choose something else. That's stupid. See, ignorant means you just don't know. But that's okay. Ignorant can be cured through education. But I used to work for Philip Morris in my BC days. And I was a sales manager. You know, I had a sales team. And Philip Morris spent a lot of money training their managers. And they said, listen, everything that we're going to show you is designed for you to get to one of two conclusions concerning your sales team. When something's not going the way you want, you have to get to the point where you can distinguish, is it a skill deficiency or is it an attitude? When it comes down to when God tells you to do something and you don't do it, is it a skill deficiency or is it an attitude? Well, let's see. Everything God authorizes, he supports. He gives us, his grace is sufficient. He empowers us to do everything he's called us to do. So it's not a skill deficiency. All that's left is we have the wrong attitude. We don't want to do it. So we'll come up with all of these reasons. We'll even try and make them sound spiritual. But the bottom line is we're in disobedience. We're out of love. We're not operating in faith. We didn't install the full download. We have to understand it. It can be sobering, but yes, I love it when I say things and you jump up and down and yell and cheer and all that's great. But when you leave here and life hits you in the face, you start jumping up and down cheering. It's going to jump up and down cheering and say, okay, now what are you going to do? You want to jump some more? Or you going, what are you going to do now? Because I'm not going anywhere. You have to deal with me. What are we going to do? See, that's the time we start pulling out the manual called the Bible and trying to find a scripture to fit the situation. Because we're not living according to the new operating system. We're not living by faith. We're trying to have a faith moment. We're trying to get our faith going. No. When your heart stops beating, those of you that are in the medical profession, look at all of the things they may have to go through to get it beating again. You know, the CPR, electric shocks, they may have to crack your chest and do a man massage. Do they still use epinephrine? You know, they have to do all these other things that, yeah, they'll get your heart going again, but now you still can't function because you got to recover. They got to sew you back. And the same thing happens to us spiritually. Yes, we'll repent, but there's still this mess that has to be corrected. And now you have to work twice as hard. It's like you're running a race and you're coming to the curve and you take the outside lane instead of running the inside lane, those of you that run track. When you run the outside lane, not only do you have to run twice as far, you got to run twice as fast just to keep up. Well, we put ourselves in those positions when we don't obey God and we operate apart from our faith. So we've received this new operating system, it's faith. All that matters now is living in the faith that's activated and brought to perfection by a love that's demonstrated by our obedience to God's word. Faith, love, obedience. They're all connected. And you cannot operate in faith if your obedient, your love and obedience is not in place. Do you understand? That's all I'm going to give you today. But there's much more to come. Because whatever it is that God has planned, he needs us. That's why he has Pastor Ed just pouring out the love. Letting you know, love, 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 love. Why? Because we need faith, 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 faith. If we don't have love, we don't have faith. And with that, we have to become obedient. I read phrases in the Bible that says, as obedient children, as obedient servants. So we have to become obedient children of God. Period. And the only way we do that is by accepting the full download. And then taking the time to understand it. Because the manual, our operating manual, tells us things like employees obey your employers. Children obey your parents. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means we're not supposed to train our children to listen to us. We're supposed to train our children to listen to God. Because when they listen to God and God says, children, obey your parents, guess what? They'll obey their parents. Amen. See, we have to understand how this system works. We're not sending them through college. God is sending them through college. He knows where he wants them to go. Our job is to help them hear, this is where God is sending me. Why? Because we're not going to be in their life for all of their life. They need to learn how to hear God and obey God on their own. Does God let you miss it when you choose to? Yes. If you choose to go off in a direction, he's going to, don't go in that direction. No, don't go in that direction. But he's going to let you go in that direction. If your mind's set on it, and he's not going to say, forget you, I'll be right here when you get back. No, he's going right with them. He's going right there. And the minute they realize they messed up, when they turn, he is right there.
Thank you, Jesus.
They say, come on. And then we want a shortcut. No, we have to go right back down the same road we came up. To the point where we stepped off. I've used this before. What we get off at exit 14A on the thruway. And one time we were just driving along and I was talking, not paying attention. And I got past, when I knew what I was passing, I think it was exit 16. Well, it's 17 miles to the next exit. 17 miles. God didn't cut that time in half. I repented. I thanked him for keeping us because I'm just talking and not paying attention. You don't even recall passing by roads. And so you thank him for keeping us. And then I travel the 17 miles, make the turn, travel the 17 miles back. It wasn't the devil. The devil didn't do that. I did it. I acknowledged I did it. I had this habit, had, past tense, is that I'd use a bank card, and instead of putting it back in my wallet, put it in my pocket. Get a call from the dry cleaners. A pasta card? Yes. I have your credit card. I'm like, excuse me? You know, say, I have your credit card. He put it in a pocket. And I go in and they look at me, they wag their finger at me. So now when I go, while I'm standing there, they turn inside every, when I miss it, I'm like, Father, I repent for being reckless. I'm asking now, show me where this card is. And I thank you for not letting it fall into the wrong hands. But I took ownership. My wife lost the wedding band. She took ownership of her responsibility and called it back. One day, well, that was last week, wasn't it, that you found it? And it was, how long was it gone?
3 days.
And, I mean, she's dusting the floor, and she moves the dust mop, and there's the ring.
Not under anything.
Not under anything. She's going in, it's like, where'd that come from? Just appeared. Hey, she looked, one time she flushed it down the toilet. No, she wasn't. She was not trying to get rid of me. It was an accident. Took responsibility. We got an agreement, and we called it back. When she told me, I stopped and bought another one on the way home. And I did that because I want her to understand it's not about the ring. I didn't marry the ring. Okay, I married you. Okay, as long as that's not flushed, we're good. Okay. So, but months later, after using the bathroom for months, she walked in there one morning and was like, ah, honey, honey, look, in the bottom of the commode is the ring. It was there. As they say, we burled it. We did everything. I know you put it away, but we... Six months. 6 months. And it showed up in the same place where it was lost. That was a tired ring. It was just swimming. I got to get back. I know. But see, but you take responsibility. We didn't say, devil, you took our ring.
No.
See, one of the things that I found out, that God extended mercy on those who sinned and admitted it and didn't try and push it off on someone else. See, that's what happened with Adam and Eve. Adam was like, ah, the woman. Woman was like, ah, the devil. The serpent. The serpent was like, I can't blame anybody else. You know? The serpent didn't say, hey, Adam's the one that let the devil come into me. You gave him the power. I didn't. You know, but I believe if Adam had said, God, this is all on me. I didn't do what you said. I was lusting after the tree. What the serpent was saying made sense. So I figured, let Eve do it. If she dies, I could ask you for another one. You know what I mean? But Adam didn't do that. He blamed his wife. And that spirit is still in this earth today, where husbands are blaming things on their wife. It's my wife's response. She should have told me. I thought you were the head of the house, according to the word of God. And I thought love covers. So even if she did, you're supposed to cover her. That's what Jesus does. We do something and God is ready to bring the hammer down. He says, Father, I died for that. Remember? That's covered. He's clean. He's been washed by my blood. God's like, okay. I won't smash him this time. No, he never smashes us. But we have to understand, folks, that faith is so much more than just believing for stuff and things. And it's gotten a bad rap. You know, it bothers me when I hear people say, yeah, those name it and claim it. Now, that's not what living by faith is all about. It's a lifestyle. It's how we live. It's why we prosper when the economy goes down. It's why we remain healthy when other folks are not. It means it's why we persevere when folks are going nuts. But we have to make a choice to obey God. That's why Pastor Ed and I, we're very, very big on the church being anti-political. We're not supposed to look at things from the point of view of Republican or Democrat or conservative or liberal. We're supposed to look on things in terms of we're Christians. What does God have to say? Period. And one thing we know he said, because you say, I don't know how his God stand on this issue. Well, let's operate in what we do know. He said, believe the best of everybody. So maybe we need to start out there. And that will correct our words that we release about people. Because when we don't do that, we're not demonstrating obedience, which means we're not demonstrating love, which means our faith isn't installed properly. So just understand that, and we'll talk about this some more next Sunday.